This is a good recording, man.
Right on.
All right, good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Connor. How you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, Earl.
All right, man. You got that all-day lollipop in your mouth.
Yeah, you know, you got to stay... got to make sure there's always sugar in your system.
There used to be a sucker called a Tootsie Roll. Did they have them in your time?
A Tootsie Pop.
Yeah.
How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop?
Yeah.
Let's find out. Yeah. I've seen that too many times.
Yeah, but did you eat Tootsie Pops?
Of course. What kid didn't?
I didn't know, man. Do they still make them?
Yeah, they still make them.
They're probably really tiny now, man.
I mean...
You know, back in my day, man, the Tootsie Pop was, you know, big,
It was huge. They kept on breaking the teeth of children.
My favorite was the chocolate Tootsie Pop.
Yeah,
And the grape Tootsie Pop.
No, they always had, like, chocolate in the middle of the Tootsie Pop.
Yeah, but they had one... Well, they had a Tootsie Roll in the middle of all of them. Mm. But the chocolate Tootsie Pop was my favorite.
It's good to know that, Earl.
Yeah.
Mine is like kiwi. They had like a green version. It was like kiwi or strawberry or something. I don't know. That was good.
Hey, man, how do we get on these subjects?
I got this lollipop on purpose this morning so we could talk about this.
Well, but that's so small, man. That, you know, those are so little, man.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. But anyway, good morning to everybody. And so if you are waiting for Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, who's going to make an appearance, he will be here at 8:15. And so we're really excited to have the Lieutenant Governor and candidate and the next United States Senator in the studio. Have you noticed, Connor, I've got on my Lieutenant Governor and next Senator Barnes t-shirt.
I noticed that. Yeah, I noticed that cool t-shirt you got.
Yeah, it's a little tight, but, you know, they didn't have my size.
You had to show off your muscles.
My muscles?
Yeah, your muscles.
Oh, man.
Like Diana Ross.
They used to be muscles. You know what I mean?
See, back in my day, I used to have the biggest muscles.
But they fell down.
Okay,
you know,
Earl.
The one thing about muscles is if you don't, you know, use them and work out, they will turn into what you're seeing with me now. But you can get them back.
They'll turn into human life preservers.
Come on, man. Man, come on. You think I didn't get that? Man, I get up at 4:30 every morning. So my mind is working human life preservers. It's funny. But close to true.
I didn't mean to hurt your feelings.
Hey, come on, man. You can't hurt my feelings. But anyway, man, we're working on what I think would be a great get, and that's Tim Michaels. We're working on getting him an interview with him. And, man, if I can get that interview with Tim Michaels, either via over the airways, you know, or in the studio, it would be great. Because, you know, a lot of questions that people would like, especially people on the left side of things, would like to ask him.
Mm-hmm.
So Man, if we can make that happen, we're working on it right now. I think there's a good chance that that is going to happen. And because I don't know if he's appeared on any other platform outside of the conservative platforms. And what I don't, and what I really don't understand, man, is why, you know, candidates won't appear on all the different stations. You should have the courage to deal with that, right? Yeah. Because you may be able to convince somebody on the other side. You know, and I'm a fair and balanced guy. Unlike a radio station that claims to be fair and balanced, I truly am fair and balanced. And I think many of our listeners are the exact same way. So, but we've got a great show lined up for you this morning. You know, I was reading today's newspaper, and they talked about Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, you know, competition. And Ron Johnson is such a buffoon that you would think that he would say that there are just some things that I shouldn't discuss and I shouldn't say with 30 days out, and I really should be careful with how I answer questions. How can he still be saying, except January 6th was not an insurrection? Why would you still be supporting that thought when there are so many people who saw all the footage, were able to see all of that, know what happened, know what took place, and even many other Republicans who agree that it was an insurrection? Why would you, unless you got some real psychological issues, still be pushing that narrative, knowing that all the information that's out there, you got to kind of be, you know, out of your mind? Well, that's what Ron Johnson apparently is, because he's continuing to push that narrative that, you know, it wasn't an armed insurrection. Well, armed insurrection, Ron Johnson talking now. Armed insurrection means guns. Well, the last time I checked, Senator Johnson, weapons come in more forms than just guns, right? Isn't a knife a weapon? Isn't a club a weapon? Isn't anything that you can put in your hands and swing or hit somebody with, you know, isn't, for the most part, you know, certainly if I've got a cotton ball in my hand, that's not a weapon. But here's what he had. Let's bring whoever it is on the line. Bring them up quickly. We don't have to interview him. We don't have to. Who do we have on the line? All right, they're gone. But anything, man, that you use to hit somebody with or strike somebody with is a weapon. And yet Ron Johnson still pushes against that. He still wants to lead people to believe that weapons are firearms and firearms alone. But even if you believe that, there were still all of these people who were there with firearms. I'm going to try this one more time, man, because we got the lieutenant governors coming up after the break. Who do we have on the line right now?
Scott, I'm in Harmony Falls.
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, I caught the end of what you said about some candidates won't come on all shows. I'm the guy who's been pestering you to get Ron Johnson on. I was wondering if you were talking about him or something, or is he ducking you, or...
We haven't gotten a response back from Ron Johnson. Well, I'm working right now on Tim Michaels.
I agree with you. They should come on all shows to spread their word and talk their truth and get the word out. I mean, I'm a conservative, and I wish those guys would come on your show.
Well, you know, the door is open.
I know. I've been emailing. I emailed those guys, both their campaigns, and said, hey, you know, they want you on the show. They'll take you on the show. Go on the show.
Yeah, well, you know, it's up to them, man, you know. Because, as I've always said, if I'm saying something that's inaccurate, they should be able to correct me, you know.
That's true. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, I was going to say they should stand behind everything they say as well. You know, and even if sometimes maybe they misspoke or they need to clarify, that, and that's a good time to do all that stuff.
Listen, we got to go to a break. Thank you for the call, man. When we come back, we're going to be joined by the Lieutenant Governor, Mandela Barnes, and candidate for the United States Senate. All right. Be right back. Hello. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As promised, the Lieutenant the next United States Senator of the state of Wisconsin and Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes is in the studio. Hey, good morning to you, Lieutenant Governor Barnes. How you doing, man?
I'm blessed. Really excited to be back here in the studio with you.
Man, I'm so proud of you, man. You know, words can't express. Maybe you don't remember, but I remember when you first ran for state representative. You came on my show.
Yep.
And you clearly announced. I didn't know who you were, but you were this young, bright-eyed guy, and you said, "Hey, I'm running for state rep." I think that was the first time.
We'd actually encountered each other a couple times before when I was back at Micah.
Oh, at Micah, yeah.
We'd encountered each other then, and then we had the mutual acquaintance in my grandfather.
Yes, and then you wound up running for state rep. And then Lieutenant Governor, and man, you just have done some tremendous things at such a young age, but always knew you had that in you. Your parents did an absolutely spectacular job.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. You know, I always talk about my parents. I credit them with a whole lot.
Right.
Because they created the foundation. They set the foundation for me to be able to even consider running for state representative, right? Like, the worst part for me is that for so many people who either grew up in the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, the prospect or even the consideration or the option doesn't feel like it's there for them.
Yeah.
And they feel that way. I'm not speaking from my perspective. I'm saying for a lot of them, like, the idea that they could also go and do the same thing, it feels like out of the realm of possibility. And I want to be sure that that's never the case, that nobody ever feels like they can't go out and do something that they want to do to change things, to improve people's living conditions.
Man, your granddad, just amazing, man. I knew him well and worked together. And, man, he's had to be, I mean, so proud, man, to see a young man approaching possibly becoming one of the 100 most powerful people in the entire country, man. How does that feel?
Well, you know, I like to think about the things that have been ignored. And the problem is, you know, you talk about a room like the U.S. Senate, 100 of the most powerful people in the world. The perspective of most people in the world, or at least most people in this country, isn't even truly being reflected or represented in there.
Right.
So it's like power for the sake of what if we don't have the perspective of working class people there? We don't have perspective of people who are actually impacted by the decisions that are being made, or at least real proximity to it. You know, I'm a proud Milwaukee Public School graduate. I was born on 26 of Locust. Like, my story is a very Wisconsin story. My dad working on assembly line third shift, my mother being a public school teacher. But it's like the Senate is a multimillionaire's club.
Right.
But the United States, most people here are not multimillionaires. And that's why working people, working families continue to get left behind every step of the way.
Let's talk about the campaign, man. It's been an arduous one. Actually, the campaign for the Senate seat is a sprint after the campaign to wind up in the position, right?
Right, after the primary, because we have a late primary. You know, a lot of states have, you know, their primaries decided by June.
Right.
You know, there's only a handful of states like, you know, Florida, Minnesota, you know, Missouri and Wisconsin, like Vermont, to have these August primaries. And so with that being said, it's 90 days.
Yeah.
90 days to put together a campaign. Now, you know, I think our election cycle should be shorter anyway. But given how much money is in the political system right now, like, to be able to mount a successful campaign in 90 days is, it's a challenge. It is a real sprint. And so from the very beginning, we ran a general election style campaign, you know, even in the primary, because it was about building a coalition from the start to get the job done. It was about meeting people where they were. It was about bringing on as many people as possible into the coalition. And that's why we were successful in the primary. You know, when one of the opponents stepped aside, his response was, you know, the lieutenant governor built a coalition that just couldn't be beat.
Yeah.
Just simply because, you know, that 90 days is not enough time to start putting together that coalition. It's not enough time to start building that support. And so what we were able to do in the first, you know, year of the campaign, which sounds ridiculous that you campaigned for a whole year just to get through the primary. But for that whole year, we were just going everywhere, meeting with people, talking to people. These groups started popping up, Moms for Mandela, Students for Mandela, Farmers for Mandela. And that's what helped power this campaign, helped get us to this point that we are today. And it's neck and neck right now. You know, it is a tight race. It is a competitive race. There is a flood of outside spending, a flood of dark money, but we're, you know, powering through with our grassroots operation.
So we've got to go to a break quickly, but before we go to that break, man, it's neck and neck. And I will say this. You're neck and neck with a two-time United States senator who's wealthy, and all the money that's being spent to support him, and you're neck and neck.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, he should be light years ahead of you. It shouldn't even be a race. But yet you're right there, and you're going to overcome all of it. And so we're excited about that. Got to go to a quick break. 844-967-2789. Lieutenant Governor and the next, or the new, United States Senator Mandela Barnes. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is the next United States Senator for the state of Wisconsin, none other than Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes. Got a quick caller, and I would be remiss if I didn't get him in. Tom from L.A., quickly, do you have a question or comment for Lieutenant Governor and soon-to-be United States Senator Mandela Barnes?
Absolutely, he is going to be. And Mandela, first off, we the people are the government, and we must never forget that. I'd love to see you go a little bit more on offense with Ron's record, because his record is something that most of us people in the state and most people in the country actually don't agree with his policies. And I hope that you can point out those like Earl did last week. And I'd just like to see you go a little bit more on offense with his policy positions, because to me, that alone should win you the election. And one other thing, just because a person is in favor of a woman's right to choose does not mean that the woman is necessarily going to terminate a pregnancy. It's about a woman's right to choose versus the government's right to choose. And someone like Ron Johnson, that's so against anything government does, well, you know what? The government should not be choosing what a woman does with her body. So, but I just wanted to say, and then one last thing is I actually donate to your campaign. Please fix your email so your picture's at the top of the page rather than at the bottom of the page. You're a very, very great person, and I love to see your face at the top of those emails and rather than the bottom of those donation emails.
Hey, Tom, man, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mandela.
Thank you, Tom. Truly, truly appreciate the support and really appreciate the advice, too. And I want to say, you know, last week we did have a chance to hold Ron Johnson accountable for his record face-to-face, which is the way I like to do things. You know, you can get so far on a commercial, you can get so far on an ad, but having a chance to do it in person face-to-face is totally different. And we have another debate coming up tomorrow. But definitely appreciate your support, appreciate the advice, and let's go finish strong.
So let's talk about that debate tomorrow. I think, man, you just did a fantastic job. He was uncomfortable. And I guess it's you should be uncomfortable when all of the decisions that you've made, people are asking you about them. And there's nowhere to hide, right? You can't run and hide behind conservative talk radio or any of those people that you go to constantly for support. And so he didn't have them with him. And so the questions that were asked of him, he was nervous and didn't know how to answer them. You, on the other hand, you know, were able to just float.
Well, the thing is, you know, I know what I'm talking about, right? I know what I'm talking about. And I was just, I just did an interview with somebody who asked a question about Ron Johnson and like what his perspective is on things. And I just simply responded, I truly think he just doesn't know any better. I honestly think that this is a person that just actually doesn't have a clue. Yeah. And when it comes to answers on some of the most complex issues, he'll say, you know, well, you know, this is my personal opinion. It's like, well, you know, we're governing for the whole, right? Like, you got to at least take in other people's perspectives, right? This isn't just about what we would like to see or what we want as individuals. And one of the biggest examples is just, you know, like January 6th, like this is a person, like, you know, he tried to send fake electors to the vice president because he didn't like the election result.
And his response was, it was only a short period of time.
His response was only a short period of time. He said it was a matter of seconds.
Yeah. and as if some of us didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he didn't say it didn't happen.
He didn't say it didn't happen. He said it was a matter of seconds. Like, that still counts, man.
it really is, like, amazing. And once you leave, I'm going to run down and do what I did last week. As Tom stated, I'm going to run down Ron Johnson's voting record. Because his voting record, if once people hear what he's voted and the bills that he's introduced, they will realize, hey, this doesn't benefit us.
Yep.
Not the average person.
Yep.
Doesn't matter what color you are, whether you live in rural Wisconsin, or whether you live in the city. Ron Johnson's voting record does not benefit you and me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's in it for himself. $215 million in tax breaks for his two biggest donors in a single year. That was his biggest achievement, the 2017 tax plan. He was initially a no vote until he was able to orchestrate those tax benefits for his biggest donors. Now, with that being said, working class people got left behind. Working class people are going to continue to get left behind as long as he's in office.
So you want to appeal to the people to make sure they get out and vote?
Well, let me tell you, we got 27 days, I think, 27 days before it's all said and done. We need you to show up because this is about our freedom. This is about our future. And when I say our freedom, I mean our freedom and our rights, whether it's to make your own choices about your own health care decisions or whether it's the right to vote or the right to be able to go to work and retire comfortably. Ron Johnson is threatening Social Security.
Social Security and Medicare.
I mean, I can't think of this is wild. Like the stuff it just gets worse and worse. Like this is about you being able to go to work in a job that Ron Johnson is not going to be happy to send out of state or overseas because these are policies that he has championed. But it's also about if you are working today, if you are working day in and day out, you being able to retire and see the benefit of your labor, the same benefit that Ron Johnson wants to take away and give to his wealthy friends.
And last thing I have to ask you, man, how does it feel to be supported by Elizabeth Warren physically to come out, Bernie Sanders, the congressman from North Carolina.
South Carolina, Jim Clyburn.
What did it feel like, man, to be able to, you know, break bread with those people?
I tell you, that goes to the coalition we're building, right? Like, you know, Elizabeth Warren and Jim Clyburn are on different ends of the political spectrum.
Right.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing because that's what this is about. Right. Like if we are going into this thing disjointed, it's not going to happen. We're not going to win. This is about building that coalition that's not just of the Democratic Party, that's also independents and Republicans who are fed up as well, because there's a lot more that we have in common than we don't. And we're going to lead with that. I'm always sticking true to my personal values. Of course, you know, there are the things that we just won't compromise on. We're doing everything to advance the cause of working people, to make sure every person in this country has health care, to lift wages of working people, to also make sure that women have the right to make their own health care decisions and people get to marry who they want. These are the basic things that Ron Johnson is opposed to, and he's opposed to an overwhelming majority of people in this state. His opinion is counter to the overwhelming majority, regardless of where you sit on the ideological spectrum.
And I want you to refute one lie. There have been plenty of them, but I know you live in the city and I live in the city where the carnage is adding up more and more. For people to say that you're anti-law enforcement, that you said defund the police, just flat-out lies. You want to clarify those lies, man.
And the thing about that, Ron Johnson even said as much in the debate stage. On the debate stage,
I know.
In person, he didn't.
Well, you really didn't say it, but
right,
I know.
Right. So that's the thing. Like it's absurd. Like they're trying to pin this to me. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to put that label on me, you know, because they're desperate.
Yeah.
They are desperate. And you talked about the carnage, something I've experienced personally. I don't make any assumptions. I don't know what Ron Johnson's had to do. But I know that I have had to bury friends before.
Right.
And this happened at a young age. This happened before I graduated high school.
Right.
And it happened multiple times in high school. And that's something I hope nobody ever has to experience, because you just do not want to ever have to deal with that. And with that being said, it's one of the reasons I got involved, to help make communities safer.
So, man, listen, thank you very much for coming in.
Hey, thank you.
Keep up the good work. I want you to know that there are people behind you. This radio program is in your corner, and people who listen to it know that I'm supporting you all the way. It's no different. And I'm not just supporting you because you're a black man. I'm supporting you because I know who you are.
I appreciate
that. I know
that.
You come from great stock. And I know that a young man like you, this is, come on, man, we need young people, it's your future, you know, you guys have to lead, and you're the right kind of guy. So thank you, man, for taking the time out of your busy schedule. We'll keep on pushing until you reach the finish line.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
All right. Thank you. That's the new United States Senator Mandela Barnes and current Lieutenant Governor, who's taking the time out of his busy schedule to join us. So our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. What are your thoughts?
Well, I just want to say thanks so much for having me and look forward to coming back. Let's go finish strong.
All right. You got it. All right. Thank you, man. Good luck tomorrow.
Hey, I appreciate it. God bless you.
Yeah, you too. All right. See you guys later. Be safe.
All right. Thank you.
All right, so our phone lines are open at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Connor, can we go to a quick break?
Sure can.
Yeah, okay, we got to go to a break. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. You know, that young man is going to defeat Ron Johnson, and he's going to defeat him because, number one, it is time that the average person gets representation in this nation. The nation should not just, and politics should not be solely about the people who has the most gold rules. But that is where we are in the society, and we've been there for a long time. And so when you see a young man like that, who has come from a average background, and yet he's risen to the position by merit. He didn't do it because he's, you know, his family is economically prosperous. Can you imagine, Connor? He was a young guy who grew up in the same neighborhood as many of the children that we are talking about today. He's a prime example of, hey, even in the face of adversity, that even in the face of a society that makes it difficult for average people to ascend to positions of leadership and power, he's there. So he can certainly have young people look up to him and aspire to rise, right? Listen, even in the face of all the negative things that happen, you can ascend to positions of power in this country.
Yeah. I mean, this is my first time, this is going to be kind of surprising. This is my first time, meeting, a politician directly.
Really?
Like growing up in Chicago, you know, I really didn't meet. I think I met the mayor one time, but I don't remember it very much.
Right.
And what I just like about him, he just seemed very genuine and honest.
Yeah, he is that.
I could just talk to him about anything else besides politics, which is which is the most important thing, because a lot of the candidates and politicians always seem to be performative, right?
Right.
They always seem to be, they're operating for some interests. And even if it isn't selfish or non-selfish, just being able to come off, being able to be comfortable with yourself, to be genuine and to be honest.
And that's the way
still understand that he's going
to,
have the power that he has, you know? That's the most important thing.
Well, he is that.
Yeah.
And he is going to have that power.
Mm-hmm.
And the great thing about Mandela Barnes is his feet are going to remain planted firmly on the ground.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's exactly who he is. What you saw here, mm-hmm, and what you heard is who he is. He's not going to, once he gets around the position of power all of a sudden a lot had to go to his head because his family has raised him in such a manner, and he's lived his life around average and everyday people.
Yeah.
Right? So it wasn't like he was, you know, walking with kings and rulers and those kind of folk, and he wasn't brought up in a family where, you know, privilege was the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he kind of climbed that ladder himself.
I think when you come from that environment, I think what you most realize is how important, like, your will, but then also the people around you are and the people that supported you are, you know, because if you're a person that, let's say, is into politics like Tim Michaels and who is in the government and into running his business because of nepotism, pretty much, you don't really understand how much being open-minded to other people and staying grounded, being grounded in reality, can help you mentally, physically, but also mentally. And give you confidence and acceptance and I inspire people in the similar same position that you're in.
You know, man, the thing about Lieutenant Governor Barnes is, and the difference between, let's say, a Barnes and a Ron Johnson or a Tim Michaels, is he's traveled the state many times. As a lieutenant governor, and people, and he knows what their issues are.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows what the issues of the people who live in rural areas are, as well as those who live in the cities.
Yeah, and I can imagine it's like when Tom said, talking about his advertisement campaign and the emails. It's like, I guarantee you, I mean, I'm not saying that he didn't have any good points, but I guarantee you Mandela's spending his time like how a politician should, like actually going to different parts of the state.
Oh, that's what he's done.
Exactly. Learning, you know, all the issues of all the separate municipalities. You know, you don't have time to cut a, you know, spiteful ad against your competitor if you're too busy actually helping people.
Well, that's you know. It. That's exactly what he's doing. Let's go to the phone lines quickly. Gary from Sussex, what's going on?
Hi. I'm glad to listen. I did listen to your debate, Mandela. I thought you did a fine job.
Mandela's gone.
To be fair.
Mandela's gone, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was just wondering if he was still there. What religion is he, and does he support abortion up until the moment of birth? Now, do you have any idea about that?
No, how would I? So I'm trying to be kind. But what difference does it matter what religion he is, Gary?
Well, if you're Christian, obviously, you know, the Bible talks that I knew you before you were born. I planned out every day of your life. I mean, this is in the Bible. So if you're a Christian, most Christians, especially the Catholics, are against abortion. And to me, I'm very much pro-life, you know. And the fact is that if you're a Christian and you support abortion, well, you know,
let me ask you, is that the number one issue that floats your boat in this campaign?
That's my litmus test for the first thing. You know, that's just my opinion. Well, what about you, Earl? I know you're a Christian, man. You talk about your Christianity periodically.
So let me say this.
I just want to know.
So let me say this. It doesn't matter whether somebody's a Christian in America. It's the one place where none of those things matter. This is a nation that is supposed to accept all religions equally.
What about your soul? Are you concerned about your soul?
Well,
I just want to know, Earl.
Well, I know,
nice
but Gary, let me respond to it this way. There are many people who wear their Christianity on their lapel. And so Christianity said there are a lot of tenets in Christianity. Love thy neighbor as thyself. In so much as you have not done this until the least of thee, my brethren, you have not so also done it unto me. There's so many different tenets in Christianity that to pick one out and harp on that. I'm just saying. Well,
let me ask you a question, Earl. What do you think? Is Jesus pro-life, or do you think Jesus is for the woman's right to choose? I'm asking that.
Well, listen, man. I don't know what Jesus was for, because I wasn't there when he was alive. I do know.
The Bible.
I do know. Hey, let me. Okay, so let's clarify that, Gary. Which Bible? The New Standard Revised Edition? Which Bible are you talking about? The King James Version? Do you know how many different Bibles? Hey, Gary, do you know how many different Christian Bibles there are? Do you know?
Of course there are.
Okay,
but they all basically come down to the same thing.
No, they don't, Gary. They don't all come down to the same thing. Let's
I have many different Bibles, okay, and they all mean the same, basically.
Here's what I would say to you. All right, so you've got the New Testament. The Gospel according to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Bible according to. What does according to stand for to you?
Well, it's inspired by God.
Well, okay,
by man.
It's somebody's opinion. According to. That's what that means.
Yeah, but so, doesn't Jesus touch your heart? I don't see Jesus, but I feel Jesus in my heart when I'm doing things.
Hey, Gary.
Go ahead.
So my belief is that you see him, you see God in people. Okay? Through their works, through their actions. So just because it's easy to say I'm a Christian, Gary, you know why? Because all one has to do is say I accept Christ is my Lord and Savior. I believe Jesus shed his blood for me, and then I'm a Christian. So let's be clear. It's more than that. But the people will throw the Christianity term out there as if it's somehow, because it makes them feel good. But feeling good and asking other people what their religious beliefs are, as if somehow that elevates them above somebody else is not the way this is supposed to be.
I'm not just asking Mondale and Barnes. I'm asking you and your listeners and everybody who votes for
what difference
who's
does it make
pro-life.
Whether somebody's a Christian or not.
You know, Earl, I'll give you a lot of kudos for letting me talk and giving me the time and not cutting me off. This is a tough thing to talk about.
Hey Gary, we got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.